B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog.
Man, I have a lot of diarrhea.
Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us. We're looking pretty good today. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Get the Twitch app as well. Search for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Also, you can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app wherever you get your applications on your phones over there. You can stream us at 98.5thesportshub.com. While you're on the job. Now, if you went to bed like I did, you could, I'll inform you now that the Nuggets, as John said, they came a great deficit in games and in the game last night, 104-89 over the Clippers. Doc Rivers being rightly panned. He's terrible in these elimination games.
Well, I mean, Fred, if you take a look at these games, or these series, rather, that he has been ahead, whether it be 3-1 or 3-2, it's astounding. And listen, the fact of the matter is, he's never won anything without Brian Scalabrine. So can't we just say that? I mean, maybe that was the pairing that made the magic happen. But okay, so here we go. I looked at this yesterday.
Coach on the bench.
Coach, that's right. Coach on the bench. 2003, round one versus the Pistons, he blew a 3-1 lead. 2009, round two versus the Magic, he blew a 3-2 lead. 2010, in the NBA Finals against the Lakers, he blew a 3-2 lead. 2012, in the East Finals versus the Heat, he blew a 3-2 lead. And then it goes 2015, round two versus the Rockets, a 3-1 lead. And then what you just had yesterday, round two versus the Nuggets, a 3-1 lead.
14 and 27 is his record in elimination games as a head coach.
Yeah, not good.
He is not good in those situations, in the super teams that they're putting together. It's always nice. Always nice when the super team meets.
However, this is different. These aren't like three guys that signed in one place as free agents. The Clippers gave up their entire future to get Paul George from Oklahoma City. I mean, do you know what the trade was to get Paul George from Oklahoma City? I mean, the Clippers sent Oklahoma City's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not a good defensive player, but a very good offensive player, and was a key part in Oklahoma City's run to the playoffs this year when no one thought they'd make it. And then the Clippers gave up first-round picks in 2022, 24, and 26. They gave Oklahoma City the option to swap draft picks in 2023 and 25, and they gave away their first-round draft pick to acquire Marcus Morris. So they have one first-round draft pick in the next 7 years.
They should be good.
Rich, I'm sorry to interrupt, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George can opt out after next season.
I know. Well, I mean, we're going to play some of the clips from after the game, because what they were saying about
how conditioned this team was is hysterical. Like, apparently they were all fat and out of shape. They were all begging to come out of the game yesterday. It's game seven. They're begging to come out of the game because they were winded. On top of that, I think Paul George made some comment like, we didn't really look at this year as a championship or bust year. I mean, we just got to know each other. It's like, all right, man. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's an excellent attitude.
And they only had a year.
That's right. LeBron
calendar year.
LeBron felt the same way in L.A. when he formed his team this year, I'm sure.
I mean, that's exactly what you can point it to. And you could say the things about super teams, but, you know, watching that last night, I got this premonition that maybe this is what the Nets are going to be next year.
Oh, yeah.
I hope
the Nets aren't going to be any good next year.
When you get this, I mean, you're right, John. They blew up this really young. I mean, the Clippers were an exciting core. Yes. It was up and coming. And then you blew it all up to get these two superstars. Now, I love Kawhi Leonard, and yesterday was really weird.
Of course, Kawhi Leonard is great. But, no, you mentioned the Nets.
Yeah.
It's the same. I'm just repeating what I've heard and what I've been reading about the team before. They got Kyrie and Durant. But again, they had a coach that was this young, innovative coach that is this young, innovative coach that devised all these conditioning strategies.
Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah. And then the team was overachieving, and he had young talent that he was molding into some greater than their parts.
Yeah.
And then they went out and they got Durant, who was hurt, and then to Kyrie Irving. And then Jabroni McGillicuddy, because he is friends with Durant.
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'll call him, what did you call him, hooligan McGillicuddy?
No. I wasn't calling him a hooligan.
Jabroni McGillicuddy. Oh,
Jabroni McGillicuddy.
Almost Jabroni in the dictionary this year. They added
almost,
it.
So. Almost as good as Dragon Megacopolis, but not quite.
Well, that's his real name. Yeah. But yeah, they're not going to be any good.
I saw that last night, and I was saying, I think that's how this Nets team, because once again, it was a young up-and-coming team that they risked it all, and they put this huge, and take a look at the East right now. Look at the two teams that are playing each other. Say what you will, but I mean, that's kind of what happens when you grassroots bring things up. Now, both of them brought in a star, in fairness. You brought in Kemba Walker, and you brought in Jimmy Butler. That's something that both teams did, but that's one guy, and the rest of that's farm grown. So it's not like you can't have success. And in an age right now, this series in the East is refreshing, because for years, what have we been seeing, John and Fred? It's like these as you said,
LeBron.
Mega teams get put together. Right. You've been seeing that. So what you're seeing in the East can work, and it is working. And what you're seeing out with the Clippers, let this be a cautionary tale, especially what's going on with Paul George. That's weird. And I can't wait to play you these clips after the game, because Doc Rivers calls out his players for begging to sit down during a game seven. They weren't conditioned to play in a game seven. Dude, Nikola Jokic had COVID, and he got out there and dominated. Like, there's no excuse for that team to not be ready for that game. And this is going to be a really weird offseason for those guys. And the reputation of Doc Rivers, it just keeps getting worse. And I love that guy, and it pains you to say it, but the numbers speak for themselves.
Right, and if you can't get your guys to be conditioned, especially in a bubble scenario where there's nothing else to do, congratulations. Yeah. That's on you. I mean, if you can't motivate these guys to even condition themselves, that's on you. That doesn't speak very well of the coach.
This is crazy. So I'm speaking of him being up like 3-1. He's blown three series in which his team led 3-1. I guess no other coach has done that twice.
Correct.
So, I mean that's insane.
Yeah.
And that's who he is now. Now it's who he is.
I mean, I don't want Doc Rivers to be my coach. I'd take a flyer on a young guy.
At this point,
I'm not hiring Doc Rivers. I mean, you could do worse, certainly. I mean, you could get D'Antoni or someone. You could, recycle some guy. But if I'd go for a young, innovative coach.
The one thing about D'Antoni real quick, I'm sorry, that I know why players like the guy, because players do like D'Antoni, is because these guys get their personal stats through the roof. Like, you don't win, but there's going to be like two or three guys in your team. Mm-hmm. They're going to get ridiculous contracts from the numbers that they achieve.
You don't have to play defense.
No. Nope.
I mean, there's a... Yeah, it's great.
Nope.
Yeah, if you don't care about winning.
You want. Yeah, fire as many threes as you want.
And you will.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. Fast.
That's right.
And you'll rack up numbers, and it's great for you personally. But, you know, with all this talk about him possibly going to the Sixers, I'm saying bring it on. This is great. Then it means that you're going to have a team that during the regular season, they're going to go, oh, this is it. And then they're going to blow it in the postseason, because that's not how you win championship games. It's not how you do it with these individual performances like that, that he seems to encourage when he's the coach, and the super fast offense. The game's different now, and it's kind of outgrown Mike D'Antoni, but bring him here. Bring him to the East.
Hey,
put him in the Sixers. Let's see how that works.
Honestly, and you brought up the Clippers being, getting back to the Clippers, you brought them up, being a cautionary tale. This is the second time that a team has pretty much sacrificed their entire future to bring in big stars. Remember, Brooklyn gave the Celtics all those draft picks, all those pick swaps. And because of that, the Celtics were able to build the team they are now. And now you have, and that didn't work out. That was a spectacular flame out. And you remember the Nets traded for an over-the-hill Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. That was horrible.
Yeah.
And now you see what the Clippers have done, which is even worse because they gave up more draft picks and a tough and a very good player. I mean, I'd be very surprised if another team did this. Once you go, okay, maybe it just happened. Twice, every other team in the league is going to stop doing this.
Yeah, what Brooklyn did was just outstanding. I mean,
yeah.
You're like, well, they fell apart here in Boston. They're obviously too old, and then you just give up everything for basically a video game from 5 years ago, if you could have made a super team. All right, well, not a good night for the Celtics. Blown a huge lead. Weird end of the game shenanigans in terms of their strategy. Tatum settling for a deep three at the end of regulation instead of driving to the basket. We'll talk all about that coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, not a great night for the Celtics last evening.
It was the type of block that can crush a team's soul.
Kemba moving to his left. Tatum switches to the right-hand dribble. Drives past Butler. Gets in deep. Blocked at the rim by Bam Adebayo. Adebayo throws it towards a man. A foul was given. When did they blow the play down? Adebayo made the defensive play. He blocked Tatum at the rim. But when did they call the foul and on who? I think Grant Williams got that foul quickly.
I mean, with one of the best playoff rejections that these eyes have seen, Bam Adebayo says, not today, to Jason Tatum. And, I mean, have you seen, like, the still frames that they've got? His fingers are bent back over the top of the hoop, like, backwards. And he just says, nope.
Yeah, he could have broke his wrist off.
He could have.
Broken his fingers. And one of the things that I saw is Breer retweeted someone I saw this morning. Saying, like, goaltending. And No.
His hand was still on the ball.
Well, what I'm saying is this.
No.
It's not goaltending when someone's dunking with all their power and your wrist goes back.
Oh,
That's just called physics at that point. Yes. That was crazy. That was out of your seat. Like, I don't care if you're the biggest Celtics fan in the world. I mean, it's painful, but that's out of your seat. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's like you're going to remember that one for years, matter how this turns out. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that play right there was just one of the one that helped Miami Heat steal their 117-114 overtime win against the Celtics. It was a game that the Celtics really controlled the fate of, but stumbled and fell in the fourth quarter, letting a 14-point lead slip away in that frame. And what a shame, because they wasted another masterpiece by Marcus Smart.
Smart, open, straightaway three. Got it. Sixth three of the night for Marcus Smart. He is 6 of 12.
Count it right back. What makes you laugh makes you cry.
I mean, what else can you say about this guy? Just another huge game by Smart. 26 points, 6 three-pointers. He's been phenomenal throughout the playoffs. And to be fair, Jason Tatum was having another monster game until the wheels absolutely fell off in the fourth.
So the Celtics will inbound. Down 3 with 2.5 to go. No timeouts. Marcus Smart throws the touchdown pass into the front court. Tatum's got it. He got hit and knocked down. They don't call anything. Oh, he launches the 3. It's no good. And the game is over. Miami has won game 1.
So Tatum put up a pretty strong stat line of 30 points and 14 rebounds. But in the fourth and overtime, he hit just 2 of his 10 shots. And
terrible.
None of his 4 three-point attempts.
The offense was bad.
The offense was terrible.
Offense
they went
was
all isolation.
Atrocious. In the final 2 minutes of it, I mean, give Miami credit. Butler hit a mammoth shot at the end of overtime. Hero hit a big three.
Yeah.
Butler hit a big three at the end of regulation. Out of bio at the block. Miami made plays. They won the game when it was presented to them. But the fact is, it was presented to them. The Celtics stopped moving the ball. They went two-man ISO with Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum for the final 2 minutes of regulation.
Yeah.
There was no offensive creativity. The best offensive play they had in the final 2 minutes of regulation and all of the overtime was the Tatum drive to the basket that got blocked.
And that's what you, when you mentioned Butler made a great play, is that's what Tatum should have. I mean, Tatum just
should have done it at the end of regulation.
Exactly.
But and Tatum did it at the end of overtime. Adebayo erased it.
Right.
But that was a well-designed play.
Yes.
Down two, you got your best player going to the basket. Perfect. But why did the ball stop moving? Especially with Kemba Walker, who
he's
talked about the shooting. Here's the thing about Kemba Walker. You saw him nail that step back at the end of overtime.
Yeah.
And I swear, I watched that and I'm thinking, okay, that knee is sound. That's the dangerous part of all of this. A good excuse would be, well, the knee's not 100%. He's not playing well. But his production recently is like it was at the end of March, right before the stoppage, where
so
his knee was a problem.
And he's a defensive liability as well.
Well, he's defensive and offensive. He's coughing up the ball. Yes. He's having a hard time dribbling. I mean,
think it's confidence. I don't think it's the knee. That's the bad part of all of this. I don't think it's...
I never even considered that.
It's not physical. It's mental. That's bad. This is a guy who's deer in the headlights in the Eastern Conference Finals. You had Brad Wanamaker in there for long periods of time because Kemba wasn't getting it done in the third quarter.
Well, it also didn't help that the Celtics committed enough bad fouls to put Miami in the bonus early. I mean, these are just irresponsible fouls. And the Heat, they're the best in the NBA at getting to the free throw line. And that's absolutely how they got back into game one. They hit 21 of 28 of their free throws. And as you were saying, I mean, the ball movement during the first three quarters was just characteristic of the Celtics. It was Celtics basketball. And then it was just, we're going to dribble until the clock's out, runs out, and have these ISO plays. It was strange. But you're talking about Kemba Walker. Just to put things in perspective, first of all, he went 1-for-9 from three-point range. He ended up hitting that, you know, like a couple big shots later in the game, but he committed that awful turnover in the final minute of regulation. As you were saying, it doesn't seem to be injury-related. I'm just wondering if he's got the basketball yips.
Yeah, because it has to be. It has to be. I mean, that play at the end of regulation where he got blocked, you have to give the ball up. You have to move the basketball. And I played a clip at 6 o'clock right before we came on. Brad Stevens like, too much pounding into the floor. We're going to look at things. That's absolutely what happened. You can't do that against a good team like Miami. I don't understand what happened. Celtics were up 14 points in the fourth quarter. They were in control of the basketball game, and they let Miami back in. And when you let a good team back into a game like that, they have enough good players where they can make shots and make plays to beat you.
Well, John, I'd feel a little more worried about Kemba if I didn't know that there was someone extra qualified to potentially step in to take over. That is, if you need a game 2 hero on the line.
Adebayo against Tice. Puts it to the floor. Drives coming from the backside. Wanamaker knocks it away. They can play after play. Wanamaker keeps the dribble alive. Goes the distance. Scoops it up and in. And Eric Spoelstra calls an immediate timeout. Brad Wanamaker is saving one of the best games of his NBA life for the biggest game of his NBA life.
Primetime players step up at prime time.
Yep.
And to get this steal defense back runs away from you, lays it up.
Celtics by yep. Channing.
That's right, Cedric, whatever you were talking about. But all we need to know is that Wanamaker did what Wanamaker does, and that's make plays.
You know who he reminds me of? Remember Cleveland was
Jordan?
Making a run in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Jesus?
Yeah, either one of those two. You know, Rich was all over me on Twitter last night. Every basket Wanamaker made, another tweet.
Well, there was a lot of texts, a lot of tweets. I mean, in fairness, he was legitimately great last night.
He was very good. Yes.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, his five steals are going to go underrated in all of this. I mean, he was great defensively.
How many?
Five. Along with his six assists and 11 points off the bench. What up, Wanamaker? Wanaholics unite.
Where's the montage? I was waiting for the montage.
If they won, I'm not joking, I was going to do a montage of all Wanamaker clips. And it was going to be the only thing in it. I was going to leave the ending out of it, which is all Wanamaker. Sooner or later, there's going to be a game where they do that. But I wasn't really in the mood to do that after they lost.
He was perfect from the line.
Well, the guy, I mean, best free throw shooter in the league. Brad Wanamaker.
Listen, yep. In front on that, I mean,
take out free throw shooter and just say that sentence again. All right.
I mean, foul him at your own peril.
take a picture, because this may not happen for very long.
Hey.
He got the chance. You said it yourself. They kept Kemba off the floor a little bit. All he needed was the chance. That's all he needed.
So now he's going to play 25 or 30 minutes in game two?
I wouldn't mind it, actually, the way Kemba's playing, to be quite honest. And I'm not joking about that. But, of course, the Celtics, they've got some bigger problems right now, and they know what they are. Here is Kemba Walker being very honest.
He's playing terrible, to be honest. Not much I can say, but I just have to be better, you know. I have to do more for this team on both ends of the floor. Got to make better decisions. Just got to make shots overall.
Yeah, so, I mean, he knows that something's going on. And, I mean, he's matter of fact, Chris Mannix pointed out last night that for the third straight game, Walker connected on less than 32% of his shots. And for the fifth straight game, his three-point percentage is in the teens. That is rough. Well, Marcus Smart also, he weighed in on what happened yesterday after the game.
A lot of miscommunication on my part. And then, you know, a lot of the guys just hit some tough shots. We believe if we clean a couple things up, you know, we can fix those things and it'll be a different outcome. You know, got to tip your hat off to those guys. You know, they executed very well down the stretch. We didn't, especially on that defensive end. Like I said, we miscommunication on a lot of guys' part. And in transition, you know, we allowed them to do what they do best and let's get out of the way.
Well, it can't be fun to be on the other side of an all-time block like Jason Tatum was last night. It's like the opposite of a poster. And at the end of the game, all Tatum could do was just tip his hat to the guy.
I mean, you just said it. I had an opening. He made a great play. You know, that's all it is. He made a good play. Can't do nothing about it.
Ugh, that was just awesome. Well, it looks like this is going to be a good series. Next up, of course, you got Game 2 tomorrow night. And we get another early one, which is fantastic, 7 p.m. No word on whether or not Hayward is going to be back. Man, they could use him.
Yes.
But we have Danny Ainge on at 9 a.m. this morning,
maybe,
and we
can
obviously ask him.
This is actually true. I mean, if you have Hayward, you're probably not pounding the ball as as they were talking about. You're probably not running that ISO. I mean, at least you could move the ball around a little bit. I mean, Kemba Walker putting his head down and dribbling out clock, and then, I mean, that was awful.
Yeah.
And then Tatum gets in and just starts dribbling out clock.
At the end of regulation, someone explain that play.
I don't think
it was for Jason Tatum to take a 25-foot three.
He set a pick, he rolled off of it, and Kemba just stood there. And then handed the ball to Tatum, and Tatum just stood there. And, it was completely confusing.
The difference is you had that play, and then Jimmy Butler gets the ball, and down the stretch, goes right to the
shoulder
basket,
down,
and he made the shot. A real strong player made the shot, but ultimately, either way, he would have gone to the line.
He would have gone fouled. Yeah, I mean, he put his shoulder down, and he said, I'm making contact, and I'm going to bulldoze my way in. I did like that Tatum, we were just watching it, John and I, Rich, here in studio. And I like that Tatum would just put his arms up in the air like, I didn't, dude, come on. You ran about 5 feet with your arms in the air.
He's got to go crazy. That. I mean, that's something that this season, I think, has put a spotlight on. And he's gotten in trouble for it. He's gotten technicals for it. He's got to stop complaining on every play. And I know that that's a hard habit to break, as Chicago says, but he needs to figure things out and just get a cooler head. You've seen players are able to do it. You know, and Tice had a couple of those moments, too. Well, and I like Tice. I think he's disrespected, but, I mean, there hasn't been a play that Tice doesn't contest.
I mean, yeah, he's
And by the way, everything seemed to fall into place the way that they came as advertised. Mm-hmm. You knew that Tyler Hero was going to make big shots at the end, and it's infuriating. You knew Jay Crowder has the guy ever missed a three-point shot?
Oh, you know unbelievable. What? I've noticed something about Crowder. If you get him, if you allow him to set his feet, he's going to make the shot.
Yes.
He specializes in spotting up when the ball is rotated to him, but you force him to shoot without setting his feet, he's going to miss every shot he takes.
Right, but for some reason, he gets a million open threes. He's just all alone a lot. I mean, plus he was passing out of them. He was giving up open threes, too.
You know what's funny? The Celtics played the first quarter. They were great. They ran Miami off the three-point line. Miami couldn't get anything going. And then Eric Spoelstra's like, okay, we'll just Princeton you all day long. We'll cut back door. We'll make shots that way. And then all of a sudden, the threes started opening up. It's amazing what a good head coach can do.
Yeah, he's great. He is a really good coach.
All right.
He got out-coached. Jared Stevens got out-coached. I mean, unless that was just, I had a plan, you know, like Brad Stevens gave it, and they just said, let's do ISO.
No, Steve, I don't believe the play was intended to have Tatum take an 85-foot three. I don't believe that was the case at the end of regulation. I believe that. I mean, you set a screen, and then you roll off, and then nothing happens.
It was Kemba turnover before that, too. Like, it was a couple plays in a row where you're going. And you know what? That's something that we'll talk a lot about this, but even though they won Game 7 against the Raptors, that fourth quarter was awful. Like, they couldn't score in the last half of that fourth quarter. So, and it's going to kill you in this series because no one's better than Miami at getting to the free throw line. And they're going to do that over and over and over, and that's how they killed you last night. It was by just nagging at you and getting in foul trouble at the beginning of the fourth quarter and killing you with free throws. And you're gonna have that problem this entire series with these guys.
All right. No problem keeping on talking about sports. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Runaway Train.
That's REM.
Driver 8. Orange Crush.
That's a deep track. Hardy went deep track, yeah.
Is it Me and Honey off of Out of Time? Is it? I think you're wrong.
Yeah, Rich, I'll go with that.
Okay.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman joining us at 7:20. Danny Ainge at 9. Rich, what do you got?
How can you not be rooting for the Denver Nuggets?
Murray turns the corner, fighting the clock, shoots a three, and he knocked it home! Nuggets are up by 18 with 2:20 to go. Nuggets Nation, let's go!
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
Hey!
Hi, everybody.
Puker Magoo. And you know what?
Let's go!
Everybody,
you've never listened to me before, so let me introduce myself.
I mean, he is kicking down the door and saying, national radio, listen to me. Well, after coming back from 3-1 down in the opening round against the Utah Jazz, the Nuggets did it again and overcame three consecutive double-digit deficits against the Clippers. They won three straight games, and they are now going to the Western Conference Finals. I think they're the first team in postseason history with three straight double-digit comebacks wins when facing elimination. I mean, what they've been doing is awesome, and Jokic just destroyed last night. First of all, I believe Jamal Murray, if I'm not mistaken, outscored both Kawhi and Paul George. Yeah, Jamal Murray had 40 points, and he's been unbelievable this whole postseason. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in a Game 7 scored 24 points combined. What an embarrassing way to go out. There's losing, and then there's losing the way that the Clippers did. And then afterwards, and we already talked about, you know, Doc Rivers and his record and all these like 3-1 series are being done. He's terrible. He's absolutely terrible. But Doc Rivers afterwards is just starting to call out his players. Here is Doc Rivers talking about how his team wasn't ready and weren't conditioned to play.
I just wasn't, you know, I just knew conditioning wise, like we had guys that just couldn't play minutes, and that's hard, you know. I mean, there were two or three times a night, but we actually started getting it going, and a guy had to come out. And you're, I mean, it is what it is. So no, I was never comfortable. I can tell you that up front. I told our coaches that.
Oh, my God. As a matter of fact, Mark Spears yesterday tweeted, several Clippers were so fatigued during Game 7 against Denver that they struggled to play stints longer than 3 minutes and asked out of the game for a breather in the fourth quarter. Can you imagine that? You're in the Game 7 trying to make your way to the Western Conference Finals and you were up that much. You're like, dude, I'm not. I need a break. What excuse do you have? You also had all this time off as well. I don't understand what you could do. And the whole season they used load management. Like, that's just kind of what the Clippers were doing. There are tons of games where the stars got to take breaks, and now you're going to pull this in Game 7 to go to the Western Conference Finals? What an embarrassing way to go out.
I mean, just look at the box score. He went deep, deep, deep into his bench. And you can kind of tell who he's talking about when you look at the box score as well. Paul George, obviously not in the best condition in the world. So,
no.
There was not good.
You're Steve Ballmer. You're worth, what, $70 billion, whatever he's worth. And he spent all that money and made it say, you know what? Screw the future. We're going to trade. I want a championship right now. Welcome to professional sports. Your franchise in 2 years isn't going to be worth spit.
I got to be honest. I didn't think that they would do that. I mean, if I was the GM of that team, I probably would have done the exact same thing. You get a chance to get Kawhi Leonard, especially after what he did last season, and bring in Paul George as well. That's tough to not make that move. But the way that they performed in that, I mean, they just... It has been... Listen to Paul George here, okay? This is Paul George after the game. Here's where his head was at, apparently, going into this series.
The fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally, we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. You know, we can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tale of the tape of this season. Didn't have enough time together.
I mean, John, you said it best. Well, at least there's no other team in Los Angeles who was able to get things together.
Honest to God, LeBron James, after they finished off Houston in 5 games, they interviewed him after the game, and LeBron said, you know what, we're still learning. We've only been together for 10 playoff games. We're still, you know, figuring each other out. Yeah, you're figuring each other out while tearing other teams apart. I mean, they're not having any trouble with chemistry. Rajon Rondo, who joined the team late, by the way, you know, entered the playoff bubble late, and that team just kept moving. They kept performing well. There's a big difference. And by the way, their head coach isn't Doc Rivers. Their head coach is Frank Vogel, who's a nice head coach, but not a superstar. I mean, you can do this with certain athletes and certain head coaches. You cannot do this, apparently, with Doc Rivers.
What's great, too, is that apparently people are bringing up this article that was written when the guys got together. And it says, it's from Sports Illustrated. It says, Paul George on joining the Clippers, quote, immediately, we expect to come in and win it all.
Yes. For him to say it's not championship or bust, he's lying out his ass. I mean,
that's why you make the move. And it's funny because you... think and you go, oh, well, Los Angeles, the Lakers have LeBron James and he kind of dictate. But you thought Kawhi Leonard was that player too.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, exactly. You would think that he was a gamer and that he would bring everyone along with him, but it's not the case.
No.
I'm with John in that too, is I would think if I got Kawhi Leonard, he's going to will this team. He's that kind of player. He's a 1-2-3. He's like a superstar. He's one of the top three guys. He's a guy that's going to come in and he's going to dictate everything. And it turns out that's not the case.
Well, Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum yesterday.
Yes, they were having fun.
They were having fun.
McCollum especially.
Well,
yeah.
McCollum's tweet was the best because we all know about how, you know, when they're talking about possibly leaving the bubble, you know, for the racial unrest and stuff, you know, the Clippers were the teams that voted to leave. So C.J. McCollum tweeted, quote, "My last tweet before I finished this glass." So he's sitting back drinking. He said, "They did vote they ain't want to play no more, but I didn't think they were going to go out like that." So, I mean, I just, the implosion, they became a very unlikable team, and it's tough to say that when they have Doc Rivers as the coach, because everyone loves Doc, but, I mean, he has a reputation now of choking and not being able to win without Brian Scalabrine. So,
well, that's the Nuggets also had Plumlee, so, I mean, let's not go crazy. Let's not, you know, diss Doc too much when Plumlee's on the bench.
Plumlee's your guy.
Yeah, Plumlee's my guy.
Plumlee, I mean, that one night in Brooklyn, he turned out to be your guy.
That's a song I'm writing. One night in Brooklyn when Plumlee is playing. He hustles up and down the court. Oh, yeah. Struggled from the line last night, only 1-2. Come on, you're better than that, Plumlee.
He's a dookie. You should have figured it out.
You're better than that, Plumlee. Come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, what an easy team to root for, especially against the Lakers. But you know what? Nobody in the NBA, or at least the head offices, want a Miami-Denver finals.
No, I think that's not happening.
That's not good for them. But
Tony Brothers is going to do the Western Conference. Watch, he's going to stay away from the Celtics to make sure that they win.
They'll take care of that. Obviously, they're all. If you're gonna use conspiracies, they all want a Lakers Celtics finals.
Denver, that might be a sweep. I mean, Denver's not going to.
Dude, I don't know, man. There's a couple of games this postseason where the Lakers have looked off. Now they're going to win it. They're going to win it, but it's not going to be a sweep because I mean Jamal Murray too.
All right,
I'll give it. It'll be the Houston theory, Rich. Remember when Houston played the Lakers and I said the Lakers will give them one game when LeBron misjudges things. Houston won the first game and then LeBron's like, "Oh, we're losing the series." Well, okay,
LeBron's rested.
Time to start playing.
LeBron's rested.
Yeah,
Denver's not.
He's reading a good book, I'm sure. Yeah. Twilight catalog.
At least 20 pages in.
All kidding aside, it's the same thing. LeBron might, you know, it's like, oh, I'm up 2-0. I'm feeling kind of tired. And, you know, Denver might get one. And then the media will be like, oh, my God, they're in it. It's 2-1. Lakers win this thing in 5.
Well,
if LeBron chooses to concentrate.
Right.
John, if you believe Dan Lifshatz, that one game that LeBron always gives up is to hook up his betting buddies. That's what Lifshatz says, is that LeBron throws games in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
All right. And I mean, he says that there's people who are in the betting circles who took like 100% believe that that's the case. I'll let him believe that. Yeah. So sure, why not? Five games.
Yeah, in the playoffs, you're not beating LeBron James, especially with Anthony Davis. I mean, it's just not happening. I mean, John's right. If LeBron chooses, he'll win. And if he chooses to kind of lay back a little bit and rest the body, he feels like he's not, you know, because he's in tune with all that.
Murray will score 40 or 45. You know, sure. He even go for 50 one night.
And lose.
I guess my point is, I understand your point, but I mean, Jamal Murray will have this one outstanding game. Are the Lakers in trouble? They're only up 2-1. No, the Lakers aren't in trouble.
No.
Denver's going to lose quickly in this series.
You forget the X factor that the Lakers have, and that is Dwight Howard. Teams with Dwight Howard find a way to lose. Just be ready. It's the stink that he brings with him.
There's no law that he has to play. There's no law that he has to get in a game.
How many times has he played with LeBron, who tends to cancel these things out?
Yeah. Sometimes I think, if LeBron says, you know what, Dwight, you're not playing.
LeBron, Dwight, stop playing.
Then he can joke around on the bench and make everyone laugh. Mm-hmm. All right. We will be right back in just a moment. 617-779-0985.
Now, more Toucher Rich. Toucher Rich. Toucher Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Talk Patriots at 7 o'clock. McCormick joining us at 7:20. Rich, what's going on?
So, Major League Baseball finally announced their plans for a bubble postseason yesterday. They got approval from the Players Association. Things are ready to roll, and they're going to hold their final three rounds of the playoffs, the Division Series, the League Championship Series, the World Series, at neutral site locations. There seems to be two problems with this as I look at it. First of all, players are going to be set up just like in the NHL in nearby one-location bubbles for each series, and it starts on the 29th. First of all, the NLDS, it's going to be at Globe Life Field in Arlington, and the ALDS is going to, and of course, Minute Maid Park in Houston, so there's two ones there, and the ALDS is going to be at Petco Park in San Diego and Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. One major problem with that: the Giants-Mariners game yesterday was postponed because of the air quality in Seattle.
The West Coast is currently on fire.
It's on fire. Like, you can't... I've got friends who live on the West Coast right now, and they can't leave their home. They've been told that they have to put, like, towels under their windows. If you go outside, like, they have a dog, and they're like, we have to walk our dog. They're told that if you absolutely have to, limit the amount of times that you bring your dog out to use the bathroom and get back inside immediately. When's the last time a baseball game was canceled because the sun was blacked out by the crap in the air? Like, this is a disaster waiting to happen already. And the other thing, too, is that Rob Manfred is trying to throw this out there. He'll do anything for a buck. He's like, yep, we got the bubble. Here's the bubble. And we're thinking about letting fans in. I'm like, why would you even risk any of that? Like, just everything's working so well with the NHL. If you are going to have a bubble, this whole plan just seems, everything and Major League Baseball has done has been the wrong idea. So I don't know how they're going to end up handling this. By the way, John, you tweeted something, and I think you're right. They were saying last night, you know, there was haze in the sky here. That I saw one of the local weathermen, I think it was like Zach Green from WBZ, saying that is actually from the West Coast.
A buddy of mine told me that last night, and I'm like, true. F you, are you kidding me? And I saw the same thing you did this morning. The haze last night, as I was out walking the dog, as the sun was going down, was from the smoke from the West Coast.
Yeah, so, and then there's, John and I were talking about, there's hurricanes.
Four of them. Three in the Atlantic, one in the Gulf of Mexico. We have the West Coast is on fire. There's a pandemic. We have murder hornets in this country. It's like some futuristic movie. Remember 12 Monkeys, where everybody was forced underground? That's what we've turned into.
Yeah, I saw this, and they're like, yep, Petco Park, San Diego, Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, and I'm thinking, man, I know it's not even a couple weeks away. It's like, 2 weeks away. But who knows whether it's going to be gone by then. But that's crazy. I mean, Giants-Mariners canceled because you can't breathe outside. So I don't know how well that plan's going to go. Finally, they didn't drag their feet or anything to get this done. It looks like we're getting a postseason bubble, probably.
Yeah. Might as well let fans in. Nothing else can go wrong.
Sorry, and just release the murder hornets, as you said, at the same time.
I mean, seriously, what else is going to happen? I mean, just let them in. What else is going to happen? It's not going to affect the players. I mean, what's it going to do? Just, you know, things are what they are. There's nothing we can do about it.
Well,
I mean,
that's not true. There's plenty you can do about it.
Well, they're doing it here. They're doing it here.
See, there's plenty you can do.
In one small corner of the country.
They're doing it here. Right. School's still not open. There's no reward at the end of the stick. The carrot, they just keep moving the carrot. There's nothing. There was a big protest in Newton Center yesterday. Big protest about school not being open. People were, I don't know what more they want us to do. We're out, everyone's wearing masks, everyone's socially distancing. They've got the numbers all down, and then they just go down. And you say, well, when the numbers went down and they stayed down, when you said flatten the curve's been flat. What are you doing?
I think they're seeing what's going on at like BC right now.
Well, BC's BC. I mean, you open up the schools. We've done everything. Newton doesn't have it bad. Just open the schools. What do you want us to do?
Got hybrid learning in Natick. 1 week on, 1 week out.
Even for middle school?
Yep.
I don't know what more we're supposed to do.
Well, you can eat outside until December 1st. We found that out yesterday.
I don't care what happens in the city.
Get your heater.
I don't have to go to the city.
As soon as November comes around.
I don't have to eat. I don't care. I don't know. I don't know what more we're supposed to do. Everyone's behaving. Everyone's doing what they're supposed to do. They flattened it.
Well, except for the college kids.
I don't care about the college kids. I don't see them.
When's he going to run into a college kid, Rich?
Right. I mean, I don't see him. Open the school. These kids aren't. I got. If a college kid's in my kid's middle school, then there's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not in the middle school, that's fine. I don't. I. It's really pissing me off. It's pissing a lot of people off. But I digress. All right. We will have for you some Patriots stuff coming right up. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.